Joseph Cabaz, and I'm the Vice President for Spiritual Life and Chaplain here on campus. Last semester, President Smith shared with our campus family the news that he will be retiring at the end of this school year. And although it's going to be sad to see him go, the search process for a new president has already begun. And to discuss this search process with us, we will be joined by David Jimenez, and he is a former graduate of Southern. He also serves on our University Board of Trustees, and we will have the privilege to hear from him in a few moments. David will be giving us an update as to where we are in the search process. There will also be an opportunity to ask questions through Slido, and that information will be made available on the screen. So as questions come up, feel free to go to Slido, have those questions typed into Slido there, and you can upvote any questions that you feel are important as well. We'd love you to do that. We will also have some time to ask other questions that have already come in with our time together. So as we begin, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for the protection and the safety that you continue to provide for our campus. Lord, as we pray about this search process for a new president, we know that we are in uncertain times. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds our future. And so, God, we trust and believe that this is not our school. This is your school, dear Lord. And therefore, we invite your light to shine upon us this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Testing, testing. I can hear myself, so I know you can hear me as well. Thank you for that warm welcome, Pastor Cabaz. I'm just delighted to be here. I want to say good morning to all of you that are here in the chapel and those of you that are joining us through Zoom call. I've been told that it's okay for me to take my mask off as long as I stay on the other side of that red line. So because I haven't found a way to keep my glasses from fogging up when I'm wearing a mask, I'm just going to pull it down here so I can look at some of the comments that I've prepared. It's been about 2 months since Dr. Negron asked me if I'd be willing to participate in this critical conversation. I couldn't help but reflecting as I prepared my comments to you that so much has changed in just those 2 months. We have a new pandemic surge. We've identified new variants of the COVID virus, and we have new leadership in the White House and in the Senate. That led me to an additional reflection on all of the changes that have happened in our society in my 50-year journey with Southern Adventist University. First as a student, a donor, a member for 2 non-consecutive decades on the Board of Trustees, and now as we go through this process of selecting the next leader of our institution, our university. I'm going to make a fairly bold comment, and then I'm going to offer some thoughts and reflections on why I believe this to be true. And that is that in this 50-year journey that I've been on, I have never seen a time in the university's history when we are in need more desperately of a God-fearing, spiritually filled, talented leader. Those are the moments that we live in. You have to remember the veracity of that statement depends on the fact that I became a student of Southern on the heel of what has been described very often as the most turbulent decade in the history of America, the 1960s. In the 1960s, we saw our beloved president assassinated. Short while after that, his brother was assassinated. And a short while after that, our beloved pastor and leader, Martin Luther King, was assassinated. I had the opportunity to travel through South Chicago in 1968 in the aftermath of MLK's assassination. it is almost impossible to describe in words what I saw. Firebombed buildings, broken glass, looting, rioting, police and military pushing back people. And Chicago was not the only place this was happening. It was happening across the United States. The decade of the 60s has been, by many folk, called the decade of the sexual revolution, the drug revolution, the music revolution. One of the critical things that happened in the 60s was that a widespread mistrust in political leadership began to happen. This was exacerbated by the malfeasance of President Nixon in the early 70s. And so that distrust has permeated out of the political environment into all organizations and institutions. And so leaders today have to have the ability to function and work in an environment that is inherently distrustful of who they are. So again, I say, giving you that backdrop of the 1960s, that I still believe we are now today facing the most important time for God-fearing, spiritually filled, and talented leadership. What's going on today that makes me say that? Well, we're living in this pandemic. I won't spend a lot of time on that, but already it has had its impact on the sub-infrastructure of how we do education. I don't believe that's going to change. I think that there are implications and manifestations of this pandemic that we will see going into the future. Now, what does that mean for the person that we choose for our next leader? It means that we need a person who understands innovation, is comfortable in an environment of change. Some have said, even a disruptor. I'm going to talk about an assessment that was done in a minute, but much of what I'm bringing to you at this moment, when I talk about the implication of leadership, came out of that assessment. So this pandemic has had its impact. Title IX has been on the books for quite a while. Its impact to our educational institutions, it could be quite dramatic. It was dormant during the Trump administration, but it is more likely to become a significant event as we go forward. That's not a political statement. I'm not up here to make political statements. It's a reality, and all you have to do is read the platform to understand the accuracy of that comment. When I was a kid going to school, the Adventist denomination and our parents were very committed to Adventist education. My parents went into deep debt to send me and my three brothers to Adventist school. There was a deep belief that Adventist education was the only way that we should go. Scroll forward to today, and Adventist families are making decisions on education around economic decisions and decisions on the quality that they perceive of the learning institution. That's not a value statement. That's just simply a reality. Many of our markets have been assessed to determine why our kids are not coming to Adventist school, and that is what's surfacing as they're evaluated. What is the implication for leadership? Now, the leadership now has to be much more aware of how to compete in an environment that is much more difficult, much more competitive. You can't just sit back and wait for students. You have to build processes and mechanisms that attract students to the organization. We also have a time in our society, and I would imagine that as intelligent students that you are, that you understand this to a greater degree than even perhaps I do. But America has become a society with lots of factions. Sometimes you hear this called as tribalism. In the 1960s, when I went to school, 80% of America, 80% plus, were affiliated with Christian institutions. Today, that number is hovering perhaps slightly above 50, between 50 and 60. and the portion that is not identifying as Christians are in a multiplicity of different groups. That whole issue of tribal nature brings to mind that its implication on leadership is that they have to be powerful communicators. They have to find a way of being cohesive in an environment that is inherently not cohesive. Communication, unity, and bringing about the types of environment that fosters that is going to be a strong implication for our leader. So with this backdrop that I'm giving you, I'd like to do now is talk to you about the process for a search for a leader for Southern Adventist University. The board appointed a search committee of 9 members several months ago. They were very careful to make sure that the search committee was diverse in nature. And so in that regard, we have 3 minorities in that group. We have 3 women in that group. We have 4 educators with PhDs in that group. We have 2 business leaders, and we have a physician that comprise the skills and the background of the 9 individuals that are on the search committee. The first act of the search committee, recognizing the complexity of the environment that we're in, was to hire a professional search firm to assist us in that work. We hired a search firm called Faith Search. This is an Adventist search firm. The leaders are all Adventists. They have done searches for several of our universities across the United States, many of our hospitals in the United States, and come with a very deep understanding of the Adventist culture. And so that is important. I would tell you that one of the other key differences that I want to mention between the 60s and now is when I was a student here during the baby boom generation, there were 2,300 students on campus, all in an undergraduate program. There was no university at that time. I was perhaps a member of a dozen students that were minorities. Today, that number reaches 51% of the student population that identifies with a minority category of some sort. What is the implication for leadership of that? Does it mean that we need a minority as a leader? No. Do we need to have a person of color as a leader? Not necessarily. When I was young, people will always come to me and say, David, you know, we think it's really cool that you're bilingual. My response to them was always, I enjoy being bilingual, but I believe that it's important more so to be multicultural, to understand the culture of the diverse nature of our group. And so that's the implication for leadership as we look forward, is a person that understands that we are a diverse institution and that there are multiple cultures that exist within that diversity. Faith Search then began a process of identifying and sending 800 distinct communications throughout the country and outside of the country, throughout Adventist institutions and in institutions that were outside of our denomination, but that had individuals who were members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Out of that, they received 45 interested parties and resumes. About 20 to 25% of those candidates self-selected out when they understood the characteristics and the criteria that came out of our search process. It's very important to understand, and this is critical, that one of the things that Faith Search did that was really important is to have conversations and input from over 100 different folks associated with Southern. They were people like professors and the cabinet and the president. They were student leaders, they were community members, they were donors. And out of that interviewing came an assessment. The assessment is a 2-part document. The first, which identifies what these key stakeholders view is the condition of Southern today. what they identify as the critical issues going forward, and how they see Southern today. The second part of that was that it evolved a series of critical characteristics that they were looking for in their next leader. Now, as you might imagine, when you give that many people a chance to tell you what the critical characteristics are of a leader, that there is no human really that could possibly meet all of those. That assessment then, when reviewed by these 45 candidates, distilled the number down to about 20. The others self-selecting out for a recognition that they didn't have the background or the skills we were looking for. Those 20 individuals went through a fairly rigorous background check. They went through a fairly rigorous interview process by the base search consultants. These are individuals that are skilled in the interview process. They understand the search process and they understand the right questions to ask. What came out of that is that we found that, or they found that they needed to really present the search committee 7 candidates that met the lion's share of the criteria which had come out of this assessment. Now, let me share some of these criteria in no specific order, with the exception that the first one was clearly the highest rated in the group. And that's this whole concept of our leader needing to be a spiritual person, not just personally spiritual, but a person that could create an environment that fostered spirituality, recognizing bridges and ways to bring about a spiritual plan that benefited our community, our student community. Another characteristic is an innovator. I talked about that in my comments earlier, an innovator, perhaps even a disruptor, because the environment that we're facing today is going to be very, very different than what it has been in the past. It already is today, 2 months after I was asked to have this conversation with you. Experience in creating superstructures around an educationalist institution that was in a transition between undergraduate and graduate program. Person that had played in both of those and had experience in developing the structures and infrastructures to facilitate that movement. This was one that came out, this characteristic. They want a person who is a face of Southern Adventist University to the broader community of Southern Adventist University. That means not just the student population, not just our staff, our professors, but also to the broader, greater Chattanooga community. They wanted someone who had experience in and had been involved in fundraising, perhaps even possessed fundraising expertise in their background. Lastly, I would share that because of the economic environment that we find ourselves in, is they wanted someone with solid business acumen that could help lead the organization through the difficult future that we're looking at. The search committee met on Tuesday evening. We just got the group down to 5 individuals that we will interview in early February, with the idea of selecting a top candidate, which we will take to our board at their next board meeting, February 28th, for board approval. So now I've concluded my comments, and I want to pause and give all of you an opportunity to ask questions, whether you're on Zoom or whether you're here in the room. I just want to explain to you that a search process by its nature is a confidential process. This is at the requirement of the candidates, because many candidates that are very skilled and very talented would not put their names on the hat, put their names in the hat if we couldn't maintain that confidentiality. So I have that caveat as I try to respond to your questions. But other than that, I will try to give you the honest, transparent answer that I can to anything that you might ask.
Thank you so much, David. And once again, you are able to send your questions in to Slido. Hopefully you see that information available to you. That's exactly where to go to be able to send your questions in. We'd love to hear from you both online and here at Thatcher Chapel. Thank you so much for that presentation. It was very informative. It answered a lot of questions that we already had, and so we're thankful for that. We understand that it is a confidential process, and so if you're unable to answer that question, I'm sure you'll let us know. But one of the things that you shared was that a characteristic of a president would be spiritual innovator and disruptor. Why do you think those characteristics will be necessary once again as we look at the future of Southern?
You know, I think that's a question, you know, perhaps each one of the search committee members might have answered differently, but it was unanimous in terms of the feeling of the community. At the end of the day, Southern Adventist University is a Christian school. We cater to students who, by and large, come from Christian backgrounds. And so the idea that we understand that and that we can create new and innovative ways of helping students discover their own spirituality is important. And while we are training the minds for future leaders, for future workers, for future people or individuals that will be in the marketplace, we also want these individuals to carry the values, the ethics, and hopefully a deep spiritual ingrained nature to them.
Okay, thank you so much. One question has come through Slido, and the question is, how can students provide input on who will be the next president?
So the students had an opportunity through their student leadership to do that. We met with a group of about eight. This was done in a private way. In other words, I was there for the introduction of the Faith Search personnel to the student leaders, and then I dropped out, and these students were then asked questions and participated and gave their feedback, both on the issue of how they understand the college is today, the university is today, in addition to the characteristics that they saw important in terms of the next leader for the university.
Okay, so that opportunity has been already made available, and there wouldn't be any subsequent opportunities, I'm assuming.
You know, I think that perhaps this is a great forum to hear any kind of additional thoughts. We are now down in the search process really to the final five individuals that we will interview face-to-face. And we're trying to do it face-to-face, even in this environment of COVID, because an interview done by Zoom is inherently less effective than one done face-to-face.
Well, it's great to know that you, the students, get to have that opportunity with the committee there to be able to do that. Another question that we have that has come in is the recruitment process closed at this point? I think you kind of maybe answer that question somewhat, but you could provide more detail. And do you consider that the candidates we have now to be the cream of the crop?
Great question. One of the things that came out, we processed the seven resumes that we had and distilled them down to five, as opposed to a lesser number, because the opinion of the search committee was that they were all great. And so it's like trying to make a decision between two or three, seven in this case, very talented individuals, and trying to bring that group down. One of the comments made by several of the committee members was that was as talented a group of leaders as we've ever had in a search committee. I've only participated in one other search committee for Southern, and that was 5 or 6 years ago when we selected Dr. Smith to be our president.
Thank you so much. Another question we have here is, what was one of the more unique requirements the committee had for candidates?
You know, I think, as I indicated, I gave you a list of six, but when you add this concept of uniqueness to it, it's probably the first time that there was very broad consensus that the individual needed to be an innovator and perhaps a disruptor. There's a strong sense in the search committee that the future of Southern Adventist University is going to be about embracing new ways of doing things, new ways of recruiting students, perhaps new ways of educating our students. And so this idea that we bring forward someone who is comfortable in that environment seemed to, first of all, it was uniformly across the group, but perhaps the more unique characteristic of the six that I mentioned.
Right. You know, you had mentioned during your presentation that you speak a second language. One of the questions came in and they wanted to know, what second language do you speak?
I speak Spanish. When I was fairly young, my father received a scholarship to study in the United States from the government of Puerto Rico. And when he finished his studies, he went to a college, an Adventist college. We used to have a national called Madison. Some of you may be familiar with that institution. He had to go back to Puerto Rico for 2 years and pay back the government with 2 years of service. I was 10 years old at the time, and I went from, being in a complete English environment to all of a sudden I'm reading Spanish textbooks and lectures are in Spanish and I'm writing in Spanish. And it was difficult at the time, but what it did is ingrain that second language in me in such a way that I have, reasonably good facility in it.
You had talked about, the characteristics of what the new president, the search committee is looking for, and how we do have an increase in minorities and involvement. But you said what's most important is being multicultural. Can you just explain that a little more? What does that mean, that term multicultural?
You know, one of the things that I found in a previous life, I traveled quite a bit to different countries, Asian countries, South American countries, and Europe. And what I found is that they each have unique characteristics to the way they function. There are certain words, for instance, that you can use in one location in the Caribbean, for instance, that you really shouldn't use in South America, for instance, even though they speak the same language. So this understanding of how that culture functions and how they react to certain circumstances, how they behave within their community, to me, I believe, is much more important than being actually able to speak their language. I found this to be particularly true when I traveled through China and had the opportunity of being there for about a month. And I never learned more than a dozen Chinese words, but I tried to understand what I could do to make sure I didn't offend their culture, that I didn't. I reacted and behaved in a way that was acceptable to them.
Thank you so much for that explanation. A question's come in here saying, after this search committee has selected a president, when will the identity of the new president be announced?
So as I indicated, and this is not in stone yet because we can't predict the future precisely, but if we meet our calendar, then we will be able to present the final candidate on February 28th to the Board of Trustees meeting. That's February 28th, is a Sunday. I would envision then that the university communication folk, marketing folk, that think tank would begin to put together a way of introducing that individual to the various constituents. And so I would expect that would take place sometime in March. It's very important, let me just add this, from the search committee's perspective, that we do that before the school year is out.
I see. So that's the intention, to have a new president by fall 2021.
To basically identify that candidate before the end of this present semester. And so that is known to our constituents, our students, and of course that person would begin their work here at the end of Dr. Smith's term, which I believe is sometime in May.
Thank you for that. This is a question, but I think you may have answered it, but you may want to answer it. At this point, would sharing the names of the candidates be an option? We would like to know who is being considered.
Yeah, and I would love to tell you. But that is the one thing that I cannot do. And it's really not just a matter of lack of transparency. It's really at the request of our candidates. You can imagine how potentially disrespectful it would be for us to name a litany of candidates and then have, you know, many of them not be chosen. So it's really more about respect than it is anything else.
Thank you for that. Keep those questions coming in. One of the questions that we have is, what specific way can the campus be praying for the search committee as they look for a new president?
You know, that's a great question. I have a lot of individuals that contact me they understand that I'm not going to reveal anything that is confidential, but I'm just impressed by how so many of them end by saying, David, you're in my prayers. And that happened most recently this morning when I received a text from Gary Rustad, president of the Georgia Cumberland Conference, saying, David, I know you're making this presentation today. I just want you to know I'm lifting up a prayer for you. And so I think that there's power in prayer. I've witnessed that in my own personal life. And there is a belief in the search committee that God has already picked our leader, and he's just waiting for us to get where he is. And the best way to do that is through prayer. So I would encourage anyone who is listening to this conversation here on Zoom to lift up a prayer on a regular basis that the search committee will identify the appropriate candidate.
We'll certainly be doing that, and want to thank you for your leadership through that process as well. We'll be lifting you up, especially as we think about the future of Southern. You probably went through the process of working backwards. We want Southern to be in 5 to 10 years from now, and who would be a leader that would be able to take the university there. You've touched on it a little bit, but maybe you'd like to go in a little bit more detail. What does the search committee feel is the trajectory for Southern in the next 5 to 10 years?
Without any conflict in our search committee, there's a strong belief that Southern is one of our premier colleges in this nomination. That its quality of education, its financial status, the where it sits, the beauty, the location, makes Southern a premier institution. There are so many characteristics that have led to Southern being a premier institution that we want to make sure we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But we understand that the future is likely to be very different for the reasons that I indicated, the pandemic, the diversity, the economic condition, Title IX, these things are all macro factors in the way that we have historically done. So I think this person has to be an outstanding communicator. They have to be an individual that is comfortable with various publics, not just within the Adventist community, but outside of that. It is critical for our board to be as conservative as possible in terms of tuition, in terms of the cost of Southern's education for our students. And so this fundraising, this ability to understand how to access grants and access external financial assistance is very critical so that we can keep a very, very conservative approach in terms of rising tuition. The trajectory of Southern, I think, is that it will continue to be a very successful institution as long as it doesn't lose what has made it successful in the past, but that we add characteristics that prepare us to deal with a very uncertain future. And that's really the way I would describe that. Keep what has made us great, and then add to that characteristics that will help us navigate an uncertain future.
Thank you so much for that. One question is, the search committee was brought together. You mentioned a little bit about the makeup of that search committee. Were they all board of trustees? Because I could imagine they're the ones that are vested into the health and the future of the organization and the university. But what was the makeup in terms of community versus board of trustees for that search committee?
You know, I came out of the healthcare industry, worked in our denominational healthcare industry for many years. It is a tradition of boards of trustees to announce a subcommittee of the board of trustees that actually becomes the search committee. In this particular case, the board deliberated on such things as the makeup of the committee in terms of diversity, not just the racial diversity, but we wanted thought diversity, we wanted lay and church, we wanted male and female, we wanted educators and non-educators. And so I think that perhaps that deliberation was more significant and more detailed this time than it had been historically. But traditionally, the search committee is a subset of the board. And in this particular case, every member of the committee is a member of the board.
Thank you so much for that breakup there. And there's looking for more questions to come in, but there is one final one we have here, unless we have some other questions coming through as well. And that is, with the feedback, what has been the feedback process for the committee? When it comes, is it primarily through interviews? Can we expect an interview after February when the name is presented? The interviews may have already been completed by that point, I'd assume, but what has been the feedback loop for that process? Has it been primarily through interviews?
It has been interviews. There was an opportunity for email feedback. You left the meeting, you said, oh man, I wish I had said this. So that was brought forward. I think the nature of it was that the various stakeholders, were identified. And so, you had a stakeholder group that was the top administration of the university. We got a stakeholder group that was the professors. I understand that over 100 professors participated in one way or another in that contribution to the assessment. Community folk, board. And out of all of those conversations, if you will, what was distilled was this assessment report that I mentioned. And it's two parts, essentially describing the nature of the university, how it looks and feels today, and then the characteristics for the future leaders that they call report.
One question did just come in. Can the president be a lady?
I have to tell you that the search committee instructed our search consultants to absolutely include gender diversity as well as racial diversity. And so our final group of five has diversity in racial diversity. Unfortunately, we don't have any gender diversity in the final five. We had a very interesting looking female that was in the final seven. Unfortunately, she didn't have quite the experience in the background of the other candidates. I, for one, was advocating for gender diversity from the get-go. I believe it's important that we consider gender diversity in all aspects of church leadership. And so in this particular group of five, we have racial diversity, but unfortunately, and I say that with all sincerity, no gender diversity. And the committee feels that way as well, too, by the way.
Well, thank you so much for sharing those details and the intentionality of creating gender and racial diversity has been a huge part of that search process as well. Well, we want to thank you for being here with us and for answering our questions. If someone did have a question that they would like to ask even after our time together, is there a best way to contact the search committee or to have any questions answered?
You know, I'm wondering, I was thinking about that as we were talking here, and I'm wondering if the university couldn't create a email collection point that I could access, and then as the chair of the committee, I'd be a key conduit to the search committee. I will tell you that as far down the road as we are, any additional comments, questions, or issues would need to come fairly quickly. But I think that might be the way if the university could create some way of catching, you know, some email address that people could put their questions into. I think that might be very, very nice.
We'll put that on our to-do list. Thank you so much. Thank you again. Thank you for all that you and the search committee are doing to find the best possible candidate for our university. We know that a lot of thought and a lot of prayer has gone through this process. And as you said, God already knows who that is. And we're just seeking that he will reveal that to us. We will certainly continue to pray for the committee and pray for you as chair of this committee, David. And just appreciate your time with us this morning. Can we give him a round of applause? Thank you. We'll conclude our time with a prayer for the time we have left. Just stay in tune also next week for our next critical conversation, but let us pray together. Father God, we once again want to pray for this process and particularly for David as he leads out the search committee. We're so thankful that they feel that you have led them to the person that will lead our university into this uncertain future, dear Lord. We thank you for Southern. We thank you that this is your campus and that this is your school. We pray that we will continue to be a light in this dark world and to be a source of hope for those that feel hopeless. Lord, be with us as a campus. We pray that you also be with Dr. Smith and his family as he prepares for retirement. We thank you for the blessing that he continues to be for our campus. And we pray that we will share with him that appreciation each time we see him. Thank you for our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much.